If you enjoy these episodes, please consider donating to help keep this podcast going by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Also, please give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends and family. Tuesday, April 8th. The first reading from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, the children of Israel set out on the Red Sea road to bypass the land of Edom. But with their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food." In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and whoever looks at it after being bitten will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Haydock Commentary. They had before often directed their complaints against the two brothers. Now Aaron being no more, they attack God himself, who had always resented the injury done to his ministers. They called the heavenly manna wretched food. Thus worldlings loathe the things of heaven, for which they have no relish. Thus in the Blessed Eucharist, the substance of bread is removed, and the accidents only appear, so that to the worldly receiver it seems very empty and light, though in reality it be supersubstantial, containing Christ himself, who fills the worthy communicant with grace and comfort, and enables him to go forward on the road to heaven without fainting. They are called seraph or fiery serpents, because they that were bitten by them were burnt with a violent heat. Hence they are called seraphim, by which an order of angels is known. Moses is ordered to make a seraph and fix it upon a standard, in which form it would resemble one suspended on a cross. It was placed at the entrance of the tabernacle, so says St. Justin Martyr. Hezekiah afterwards destroyed it because it was treated with superstitious honors. See 2 Kings 18:4. Thus the best things are often abused. God commands this image to be erected while he forbids all images of idols. By comparing the different passages of Scripture, we may discern the true import of them. Pictures may often prove very useful and instructive. They serve the ignorant instead of books. But then the ignorant must be carefully instructed not to treat them with improper respect, as St. Gregory admonishes. And is not the same caution requisite for those who read even the Word of God, lest they wrest it to their own destruction, as both the unlearned and the unstable frequently do? 2 Peter 3:16. If everything must be rejected which is liable to abuse, what part of the creation would be spared? The Bible, the sacraments, all creatures must be laid aside. For we read in Romans 8, "The creature was made subject to vanity, and every creature groaneth." It is probable that Moses represented on the standard such a serpent as had been the instrument of death. This was not intended for a charm or talisman, but this image was set up by God's express command, and the Book of Wisdom, chapter 16, verse 5, assures us that the effect was entirely to be attributed to him. The brazen serpent was a figure of Christ crucified and of the efficacy of a lively faith in him against the bites of the hellish serpent, so says St. Ambrose. As the old serpent infected the whole human race, Jesus Christ gives life to those that look at him with entire confidence. The brazen serpent was destitute of poison, though it resembled a most noxious animal. So Jesus Christ assumed our nature, yet without sin. The Gospel from John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "He is not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" He said to them, "You belong to what is below, I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation, but the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him I tell the world." They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. Heda Commentary. When Jesus says, I am not of this world, he speaks of his divine person, as the words evidently show. They said, Who art thou? Jesus said to them, The beginning, who also speak to you. This text and the construction of it is obscure, both in the Latin and the Greek. St. Augustine and some of the Latin fathers expound it in this manner, I am the beginning of all things, who now being made man speak to you. But this does not seem the construction if we consult the Greek text, where the beginning is not in the nominative but in the accusative case, and therefore St. Augustine, having considered more attentively the Greek, thinks that it must be understood as, Believe me to be the beginning. He looks upon this to be the sense in the construction, as being connected with what was said two verses before, namely, If you believe not that I am he, the true Messiah, you shall die in your sins. St. Augustine says, that they might know what they were to believe, he made them this answer, as if he had said, Believe me to be the beginning, the cause, the author of all things, who am now become man and speak to you. The Pharisees, indignant at the liberty with which Jesus spoke to them, demand of him in a rage, Who art thou to speak to us in this imperious manner, to say that we shall die in our sins? Jesus answered them that he was the beginning, author, creator, and ruler of all things. Or he is saying, I am in the first place what I have already told you, namely, in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me walketh not in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Or it may mean, I am what I have always from the beginning told you, I am the Son of God, the Messiah. For Christ to hear from his Father and to see, etc., is the same as to proceed from him, to be of the same nature and substance. See John 5:19. Some of the more ignorant among the Jews understood not Christ when he clearly enough signified that he was equal to God and of one and the same nature. But at other times they that heard him perceived it very well, and so in this place they were for stoning him to death. When Christ says, When you lift up the Son of Man, it means when you have put me to death on the cross, then you, that is, many of you, shall know and believe in me as your Messiah.